And let me get my last sips out so I don't.
Well, I already recorded today.
Okay, hang on. Let me get my last sips out.
Whoa, Camden, do you have a maracas or something?
What are you doing? That's so weird that you
get it all out now.
That's so weird that you took a live squirrel and then stabbed a straw into it and drank all the blood and organs out of it so intensely that it made like a noise on the inside because he's then sucked up all the bits on the inside out. But I'm glad that you got refueled before
inside out. Like the movie we're reviewing today.
Guys, we're here to talk about Inside to, into Inside. Actually,
they're making the second one.
That's the question. That's the question of today. What's a better title for Inside Out 2 than Inside Out 2? You know what I mean? You could take one of the words and switch it.
Mm-hmm. Outside or, in.
Okay. Whoa. See, that's a good one, Jackson.
I didn't even consider that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't know. We could just do that?
Okay, what are you thinking?
Inside to out.
Nice.
Like going from inside to out.
No, that's a good one. There's definitely levels to that. I was thinking we take the classic Vin Diesel approach, two inside, two out. So that way we get like a Too Fast, Too Furious kind of approach.
I don't think that one makes sense quite.
At all.
So, yeah.
Welcome back to Roomies Talking Movies, the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. I'm your host, Dane, and joining with me today, as always, are my beautiful little space pirates, Jackson.
No.
And Camden.
Arrgh, but in space.
Out of the two of you, Camden's the only one who understood where I was going with that Jackson. Opening.
Yeah, but are they pirates?
This week, we're back to talk about Andor. The Star Wars series that said
apparently about pirates. It's a pirate show.
A pirate, please. A pirate.
No, it's not.
Andor colon.
There was
pirates.
There was no swords. No swashbuckling.
Yeah, there was no lightsabers in this show. First
scurvy.
Of all. Spoilers for Andor, by the way. No lightsabers.
No lightsabers.
What a waste. But we will be jumping into Andor, the latest Star Wars Disney Plus series to grace the silver screen. But before we do, we have more movie and TV show news than there are Death Stars in the existence of Star Wars. So far, there's only been three that we know of.
Three?
Starkiller.
That's not a Death Star.
If it walks like a Death Star and quacks like a Death Star, that's a fucking Death Star.
We'll get into this.
Before we do, you know what? Who's coming back into Disney? What? Bob Iger returns as CEO of Disney as Bob Chapek kicks the bucket. Not that he's dead. Like he left. Kick the bucket is a broad statement that normally means when someone dies. I cannot emphasize this enough. Bob Chapek didn't die.
Yet.
Are we Dana's plotting it.
Yet.
Plans haven't come to fruition.
So
yet.
I saw this one post of people going like, putting all these statistics on like Bob Iger doing successful with all of his CEO things. And then under Bob Chapek, it was like canceled the Disneyland passes that people get where they can go as much as they want and different things like that. And introducing like fast pass adjacent things instead of just having fast passes. Not a lot of things that affect us on our end as like the media enjoyers, but like more so as Disney's an entire company. Apparently he was lacking in some areas. Kim, I'm sure you know in what areas.
Penis area, probably.
He was lacking. That's packing a 2-meter
not
Peter.
The area I was expecting. I was more thinking like the sales area.
Well, Disney Plus did lose over $1 billion in just the last quarter.
And that's
and
all
I
on
feel
Bob
like that was
back.
Probably well, I feel like that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, I don't think that was the only thing he did. People are like upset with the state of the Disney parks because they're like very crowded and also very expensive and hard to get into. And people are like, why is it different than it was before COVID? You know, like if there's no more like COVID restrictions, why is it suddenly so much more crowded than it was pre-COVID, you know? And they think it has to do with the reservation system. But I guess there was some like conference today with like all Disney employees, like they're all invited. And it was just like with Bob Iger, like him just like giving like a talk. And I guess nothing like monumental was said because he was just trying to basically like not cause any news headlines, but also like affirm everyone that like, don't worry, like it's okay, you know, but people were like asking questions. I guess there's no plans to acquire new companies in the future.
Good.
And I didn't know that this was a rumor, but there was a rumor that Apple and Disney were going to merge. Didn't know that that was a rumor, but I guess he shut that down during the talk as well. Someone brought up the reservation system to him and he said he hasn't used it, so he can't like speak to it. He said he's going to talk to people who know more about it and then he's going to address it. So he didn't want to like, I mean, it was basically him being like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to make anyone mad, you know?
I mean, that's fair. He's coming back. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, that's whatever. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was on the board of directors, though, the whole time.
Yeah, but did he make the decisions to change the reservation system? I don't think so. No,
obviously not directly.
Bob, how's the reservation system going? I don't know. I could get into any Disney park I don't know.
I just Virgin. Walk in.
I ran this shit. I just walk in and they go, is that Mickey Mouse?
They clap when I show up.
It's Bob! When I throw up on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, people cheer.
So why are they all named Bob?
I don't know. It's Mickey. It's weird. Right? It's weird. His name's Mickey.
His name's
right?
Mickey. Why is why the CEO named Bob? It's so much cooler that the Nintendo CEO is named Doug Bowser.
Yes, because it works. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We or at least give us a Bob. What's the Hunchback's name? Quasimodo.
Bob Quasimodo.
Yes, Bob Quasimodo, because it's close enough to Igor, which is a hunchback in Frankenstein, and the only hunchback that Disney has.
This brings up a good question.
Notre Dame.
Do you think that having a name that associates with the job you're applying for helps you get that position? Like if you were like applying for like an accountant position, and you were like, Joe Mathematician.
You couldn't have picked a single name. You couldn't have picked a single name.
Hey, it's Joe Finance. I'm applying for this finance job.
But like Doug Bowser, what the fuck? Like that's like someone being called like, hi, I'm Doug Mario. Nice to meet you. Mario?
That's like, crazy. We just had a Doug
Bowser. If someone applied for like a position at Disney and their name was like Mickey Jones something. And they're like, oh, like Mickey Mouse.
And then they'd hire him.
That would help. Do you think it's like a thing that like now because there's been so many Bobs, like even if it's like a joke in the process where they're like, oh my, another Bob, even that like thought, you know,
crosses
in the back
their
of their mind and like puts that person up higher because it makes them think about them more.
I think so.
But then, there's no other explanation.
Then if they hire another Bob and they lose $100 million or something.
A billion.
They're not going to have a job. So I think you also have to be good at what you
Bob.
Do.
They're going to call him No Job Bob after this.
Yeah. Speaking of Bobbies, Margot Robbie, Pirates of the Caribbean movie is no longer moving forward due to lack of interest. Well, let me tell you, I'm interested. Danon, are you interested?
I'm so interested
Jackson,
in how you
are
just
you
pronounced
interested?
That.
I'm going to be entirely honest. I'm not. And,
okay.
And I'll tell you
so
why.
So that's a 66%.
No. I'll tell you why I'm not interested. Because this means that she can focus more on the Barbie movie.
You're right.
This is purely a distraction. The Barbie movie is where the big money is, Margot.
Jackson, do you like Barbie?
Yeah, I like Barbie.
Do you like Barbie?
This is a trick. Don't answer it, Jackson.
Am I in danger?
Answer this carefully. Do you like Barbie?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Margo. You could just stay in the lounge right now. Jackson doesn't want to see you today in Barbie costume.
What?
Yeah, it was a trick. And you.
It was a trick. She's right out there and you can't go
God,
out there.
Oh, my God, guys.
Ryan Gosling's right there.
Oh.
Put your d*** away.
Why does he have his d*** out?
I don't know. He's not even in the Ken costume.
It's weird. Why would
I mean, his okay, his d*** is not weird. Let's get that straight. That is.
Chef's kiss.
How would you describe Ryan Gosling's penis?
Well.
Chef's kiss.
You know what else is chef's kiss?
Ooh.
This next piece of news, because James Cameron reveals the Avatar Way of Water is the, quote, worst business case, unquote, and has, quote, I'm going to quote again, to be the third or fourth highest grossing film in history in order to make a profit. That's a chef's kiss right there.
How do you find yourself in this situation?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, how are you getting in the movie? Like, the movie's again. Getting made, and you go, oh, shit, wait.
It doesn't look groundbreaking. Like, it's not like they, like how much does cost to do these effects?
It looks improved.
Gross, like, what, like, $2 billion or something like that?
You think James Cameron was just like, okay, CGI the water, and then it didn't look good, and he's like, CGI the water again.
Do it again.
It didn't work. He had to do it, like, 20 times.
Is that what's been happening the past 15 years?
I wonder.
I think it's all been... all on the water, the water special effects. And then Disney's like, you could use what we did for Moana. He goes, no, I'm starting from scratch. And he throws everything on the board.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of bored, I'm bored of all these so-so horror movies. Mm-hmm. When's we gonna get some good ones like Annabelle and those other James Wan horror films? Well, you're in luck, people who are asking for that, mainly me. James Wan is merging his production company with Blumhouse to create a horror movie empire.
Yo.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, A24 is already a thing, so, like, why? I mean, that's cool, but I feel like this is a weird thing where they're going to niche this specific type of movies.
It's the MCU effect.
I was going to say, we're just going to get a cinematic universe with horror villains.
It's the MCU effect.
I don't think this is like...
Franchises make money.
I think this is more so like a company making the same type of thing. Sure. More so than them going like Annabelle but like and Casper.
Marvel Studios, DC Studios, A24. They're like, we need to make our own company brand. Because like people go see movies now because they're attached to brands.
Yes.
I don't even think it's like necessarily people anymore, like actors. Like I think people see movies because of brands, you know?
Yeah.
We won't go down that rabbit hole though.
But you know what rabbit hole we will go down, Camden?
Okay. Oh, you mean the Fast X budget?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, the one that has reportedly hit $340 million, which is 70% more than F9 $200 million budget?
Yes, that rabbit hole.
Oh, that's a rabbit hole we could go down, I guess.
Well, that's so much money.
You know what this tells me?
What, buddy?
They're going to go to space twice now. They have the budget for it.
We're going to start seeing a lot more like actual actors in space. We're seeing it with who? Like Tom Cruise? Right?
Tom Cruise is gonna going to be the first movie in space.
Well, I think we're going to see that a lot more in the coming decades.
That's well, get scary. In line, Tom. Vin might beat you.
I want to go to space.
Be an actor then.
Okay.
Beat Tom Cruise, literally. That's the only person that makes sense.
Tom Cruise looks like ageless, you know what I mean?
You know who else he's timeless. Looks ageless? Not really, but Indiana Jones 5 to de-age Harrison Ford for the opening minutes of the film.
What? You could have connected it.
Yeah, it was right there. It was right there.
You said not really.
Look, I'd be lying if I said Harrison Ford looked ageless. He looks old. Yeah, but they're not going to make him look old for the first 5 minutes of this film.
Okay, okay. We saw it in Ant-Man and the Wasp and all that. Like, they can make it look really believable. How good do you think this is going
to
look?
It has to look really good, I think, because Harrison Ford is it.
Yeah.
And he like would be like, no.
I'm not Indiana Jones anymore.
And he said... He said it looks good too in an interview. So
he wouldn't lie to the audiences to get them to
what
spend millions.
What if he's just so old and senile at this point that he's like, "Yeah, that looks good."
How
and
dare
he croaks
you?
And dies.
Hey, that's our Red Hulk.
That's on Solo.
Sorry,
that's our new Red Hulk, buddy. You better watch.
I know
that him die too.
I know.
I'm just saying, like it's harsh, but it's true.
Yeah, no, I'd rather no one died ever. But all right, then,
but real talk, if he dies, do they recast again?
Have they filmed something with him? Like in this hypothetical.
Yeah.
Is he in the Thunderbolts movie?
He filmed half of it.
What? Actually?
He filmed
half. No, hypothetically, he filmed half the movie and then he dies. Do they recast? Do they rewrite the movie?
Do they like write off the character? Like, what do you do in that situation?
Oh, and the guy we were setting up for before, he died in the background,
oh,
by the way.
The bad guy of this movie, he's dead.
No. When they finally make a Hulk movie, in the first like 2 minutes, you show Hulk beating the shit out of someone that you have no idea who it is. And we find out it's Red Hulk, and he's dead.
It's just a dead body, and they go, sorry, I had to brutally murder Red Hulk. They go, no worries, Mark Ruffalo. Speaking of worries, Disney's Strange World is set to lose $100 million at the box office, only making $11.9 million of its expected $30 to $40 million opening weekend. And we have a little theory so far about what's going on. Apparently, there are a couple of the main protagonists of this film. They're gay characters. And so apparently, this is just speculation. But it's kind of weird that we didn't notice that this movie was really coming out until like mid-October.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing about this movie is I remember the first ads they put out when it was just like a shot of the world.
Look at this visual thing.
And you're like, whoa, this could be a really interesting movie. And then they put out, I think, like one trailer. And then they were like, we don't need to advertise it. And now here we are. With the flop of a movie.
Do you think this is purposeful lack of marketing? Or do you think this is just poorly planned marketing?
Well, that's the thing. Because reportedly, this has, for the first time in Disney's history, an openly gay main character. And some people are speculating that because a lot of audiences, i.e. Chinese audiences in particular, are quite homophobic when it comes to movie releases and things like that. There's a theory that Disney may have not put a lot of money into the advertising for this movie. So that way they could point to it in the future when they are like asked to include representation in their movies. They could be like, well, when we do that, our movies do bad.
What about Black Panther? No. Mm-mm. What about Shang-Chi? No. What about Black Panther 2? Stop listing those things. I told you it doesn't work under this specific situation. What about Lightyear when we just had one character kiss another character of the same sex and it was like 2 seconds? No. Remember that one movie theater in Tennessee where they said, we'll fast forward it if we can?
But that's honestly, like, these movies have been getting review bombed. Like, Lightyear got review bombed for that. It's kind of
And it was such like a minor focus of Lightyear, too. It was like...
That movie was completely, like, fine in a completely different, unrelated way.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad because of that. It was bad because why is the meat on the outside of a sandwich? It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make
like
sense.
You look at it and
that.
They go like, oh, why?
And you're like, oh, now my fingers
of all the things
smell
to
like
change
meat.
Like over time.
The sandwich?
Why would you say the sandwich? That's like the one
sandwich
thing that makes
sense. Sandwich is
timeless. We've been doing that. We've been doing that.
We are a little heated about Lightyear still.
We're a little heated. You know who else is a little heated? Mm-hmm. In the good way.
What?
Antonio Banderas says that Tom Holland is his top pick for the role of Zorro if there was a Zorro reboot.
Can Tom Holland not be the Chris Pratt of Hollywood? this role seems perfect for
if
a
Tom
fun,
Holland's
energetic
the Chris Pratt of Hollywood. What is
Who's
Chris
Pratt?
Pratt?
Chris Pratt's the Chris Pratt of the universe.
Oh,
this is Chris Pratt.
It's Chris Pratt.
I see.
Understood.
That's weird. But sure, whatever. I mean, they're doing legacy films all the time. Might as well do one that a lot of people actually like rather than like another Fast and the Furious movie.
People like those? That's why they're putting
$40
million.
It's me. I'm the problem. I like Vin Diesel driving cars.
Yeah. I don't know how to lead into this one.
Go ahead, man.
From that one. Do you have any ideas?
Speaking of...
Not at all.
Speaking of Vin Diesel, he's not in this movie.
Yes.
Amazon Prime series. Video confirms title of the Spider-Man spinoff series to be Silk Spider Society. There's a colon in between. It's like Silk colon Spider Society. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Spider-Man colon Into the Spider-Verse. And we'll have Phil Lord and Chris Miller executive producing the series along with more Spider-Man.
What is the more Spider-Man?
I don't know.
That's so exciting. I love when the news bits are ominous because then it could be anything I want to be.
More Spider-Man.
No, don't say it.
More Spider-Man.
Jackson, what do you think it means?
Like different types of Spider-Man?
Produce the series along with more Spider-Man pornos is my guess is what I was going to say.
That's
an untapped
stretch.
Market. Untapped market.
That's a
big it's potential. It's just more Spider-Man series.
So confused.
There, I typed that in there for
the
you.
The rights there. Why does Amazon Prime Video have the rights to make a Spider-Man series?
Well, technically, they don't. Sony does. Sony doesn't have a streaming service, but they can do things on other streaming services, which is why we've had other Spider-Man shows and things like that spread out. Like, you could watch Venom on Amazon, and you could watch the Spider-Man Tobey Maguire movies on Netflix, and they're all kind of... They've all slowly been removed because they're all funneling back into Disney+.
To me, though, like, why would Sony not just partner with Disney?
Well, we're seeing it, funny enough, to tie back into the thing we're talking about this week, Andor. We're seeing it with Andor this time, where Andor is being shown on Disney Plus, and it's also slowly being released on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
For like,
they released like the first two episodes, or
yeah,
something.
Different things like that. So I can definitely see them doing something similar to this, where it's like on multiple platforms, but it's just being a Amazon Prime thing. But if you forgot at home, listeners, Phil Lord and Chris Miller are the Into the Spider-Verse peeps. They made the first one, so. No word is to say if this is going to be an animated series following to like akin in Invincible, where Amazon has been knocking it out of the park with their animated stuff, or it could just be like a live action thing and they're connecting it all together. Because as we've talked about in previous episodes, we're probably going to see another movie Spider-Man or cartoon series Spider-Man in Into the Spider-Verse, at least for a passing moment. But if they show up, that means that they're all canon within this connected universe that they built.
Mm-hmm.
So. Who's to say that we don't get introduced to Silk in the new Into the Spider-Verse movie and then new series right there?
Yeah, I feel like that's the most likely option that's going to happen. It might be like maybe they form the Spider Society after the events of Across the Spider-Verse, you know, and that like ties in that way. I don't really know. Could be cool, though.
But could be cool. You know who's cool? Blade.
Uh-huh.
Blade's a dope character.
Yeah.
He's cool. A Daywaku who slices vampires with his sword. I don't know why he's not called Sword, But besides the point, Blade has been in a bit of a kerfuffle when it comes to his production in the MCU. We know he's showing up, but now he's been delayed. He's been replaced with the Armor
Wars.
He's been to Blade.
This was literally the joke we made when we talked about the delaying of Blade. We said the Blade.
The Blaine.
So please respect that.
It's been to Blade. And then we also know that within that time slot, maybe Don Cheadle's new Armor Wars movie that was a TV show moved to movie. That's going to take the place of it. But now we have some good news because Marvel's Blade hires Lovecraft Country director Yann Demange as the film shifts to a darker take in the MCU. Ooh. So they got a director. They pretty much rewrote everything. And they're like, all right, round two. You got Mahershala Ali. You got the Black Knight.
How are you going to mess it up?
For whatever reason, from the Eternals, who's probably going to show up. You got maybe a Moon Knight. You got a lot of characters that you could pick and choose from. Not Spider-Man, though.
You can't pick Spider-Man. Sorry about that.
But that's exciting, and it's good to see that Blade is moving forward. Hopefully we'll get some new development from that soon. Like a picture? I just want to see how he looks, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't imagine... Blade's like one of those characters that it's hard for me to imagine them like designing something that looks bad.
As long as they don't like overdo it, it'd be good.
Because it's like a character like Blade, you go, okay, we give him a sleeveless, like bulletproof vest, we give him a trench coat, we give him a sword, we give him cool glasses. If we check those boxes, it's fine. But then I could see them going like, here's his vampire slaying armor. You go, why'd you give him armor?
Yeah.
He's Blade. Just do
MCU it up.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Speaking of cinematic universes, DC Studios is to reveal their new DCU plans in the next 2 months, promises James Gunn and Peter Safran.
What about now?
They could just do it now. Why is it taking them so long?
They haven't thought of it. They're giving themselves a deadline so that they hold themselves.
They crunch
they're
at
like,
the last.
We don't have anything
God,
yet.
About it like a day
but
before.
We could probably come up with something in 2 months. So 2 months it is.
I bet it was in passing. Like they caught James Cameron on the street eating his scone. Wait, what are we getting news? 2 months or something. It's confirmed 2 months.
In the next 2 months, we will have confirmed plans for the whole roadmap.
We know they're going to throw a curveball or two. We're going to get like a Thunderbolts or something like that in their timeline. We're going to get a Batman. We're going to get a Superman. We're going to get a Wonder Woman. We're going to get a Flash. We're going to get a whatever for all of that. What are each of us pitch our weird oddball? Don't pick something that we know is already being made or coming out, like Blue Beetle. We know that's coming out. Mm-hmm. What's the project that they're going to announce? They're going to go, that's
Green Lantern. Lucky.
That's just like a good project. No, that's like a good pick. I want them to make that.
Yeah.
But that's not even like a wacky one.
James Gunn's been responding to a ton of people on Twitter, just like random people. It's really fun to read. He said one that was like, someone like tweeted out that was like, I have it on good intel that it is not in DC's plans to make any Green Lantern projects. And he responded to that and he was like, you have pretty bad intel then. So.
Yeah.
Nice. I want to see a Robin in the DCU.
You look like Robin. You could play Robin.
I'm going to play Robin.
Can you say Robba Robba?
I'm going to play...
That's the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robba Robba.
I'm going to play Jason Todd.
The angry one that died?
Yep.
Are you a method actor?
Yep. Goodbye, guys.
Here's a crowbar. I think if they throw us a curveball at all, I would love for them. James Gunn, he's a classic. He's a let's put together a random team that's not super popular from the comics. Mm-hmm. I think... we're going to get the Metal Men. Now, hear me out. Well, who are the Metal Men? Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of characters that are named after different types of metals.
Ooh.
And one has like the flexibility of a type of metal. One of them can harden themselves like most metals. There's also a female
on the team.
That
sounds really lame.
But still called the Metal Men for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But like the Fantastic Four figured out. They had a clean name. Doesn't include any genders. Metal Men, and there's a girl in the lineup. You go... X-Men.
They were just like, sorry, Metal Men and One Woman doesn't really roll off the
metal
tongue
people.
That well. Metal.
The Metallicats.
The Metallicoids.
The Metalloids. I think.
Okay, that's probably that. Yeah.
Shut up, Jackson.
Sorry.
That's a good one. Those are our picks. James Gunn, make sure all of them happen, please and thank you.
Please.
You know what I'm thankful for?
What are you thankful for?
What are you thankful
for? By the way, happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. Thanksgiving was last week.
We gave our Thanksgiving episode for Black Panther.
Shit. Yeah, but it happened. So I'm saying happy Thanksgiving like retroactively.
You know? Oh, happy retroactive Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah.
Merry turkeys.
You know what I'm thankful for? Warner Brothers having Henry Cavill back as Superman. Mm-hmm. But Dwayne Johnson says that wasn't the case. They didn't want him back.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, that is.
Yeah. I'm glad that
is this news. I feel like we knew this.
I'm glad that all of the previous people in charge of the DCU have been replaced with James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Yeah,
because why would you not do that? Like what? Like Henry Cavill wasn't like I hate the DC films. He's not. He wasn't like he wasn't like one of those actors who's like God, I can't wait to get out of this. He wasn't like Daniel Craig with the James Bond movies where he's like, man, I'm like stuck in this. It was it was much more like he's like. I mean, if there's further plans, I'd love to stay with the character. And DC's like, if only we had an actor who liked Superman. And he's like, I really like playing Superman. Yeah, we just need a, let's get a new Batman actor.
Someone who's just really good at it. I don't know.
Yeah. Some guy who's really good at Warhammer and building PCs. it's on the tip of my tongue. A guy played Sherlock Holmes. Let's get Robert Downey Jr. to play. Oh, we picked two different Sherlocks. Yeah. Thanks, Dwayne.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Do you think he's going to take a position? In running the DCU?
Yes, he needs to.
Probably.
Immediately. James Gunn, do it.
I think probably, but not like a huge role.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most he'll do is like he'll direct a few movies, you know?
You think he'll direct?
Mm-hmm. I hope he directs Black Adam too.
He probably will.
Honestly, I'm not against that.
I have a extra news bit that happened very recently.
Is it the Twitter thing involving X-Men?
No.
Oh.
It's about new like movie companies.
Yeah.
Legendary Entertainment formalizes deal with Sony after cutting ties with Warner Brothers. This is a multi-year worldwide film distribution partnership with Sony Pictures. They cut their ties with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is going downhill, fellas.
Oh, man, I was going to try to work for them. Not anymore.
Warner Brothers?
No, I mean...
My sister's fiancé works for Warner Brothers.
Oh, no!
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, they're on a hiring freeze right now. I mean,
well, they should hire more people.
Clearly, they need more people to do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, wow, that's a curveball.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sony doesn't take this as like a, yeah, now we can buy back Spider-Man because they're not going to.
What if this just means they're not going to be acquired by Disney, though.
What if
means
Disney bought Spider-Man?
They like, will not how give
much,
up Spider-Man.
Like, no, but like how much money do you think they
$3 trillion.
I feel like that's worth it for Spider-Man.
Actually?
$3 trillion? They don't have $3 trillion.
Yeah, what? Yeah, no one has that
much. Isn't Apple the only like $1 trillion company?
I think so, yeah.
That's worth it for Spider-Man, though.
That's been a while. Man, imagine if Apple and Disney merged. Is that even a monopoly or is that just kind of like, you guys are assholes?
That's
you
Big know? Brother.
It's not a monopoly because it's like they do different things.
Yeah. But it's a weird kind of combo.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird combos, we have Pixar's upcoming new film. You know, Zootopia?
Fire Girl.
Well, here's it with the elements. Elementals follows a water guy named Wade and a fire girl named Ember, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, I did
that
not.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Wade, like wave, like water.
Mm-hmm. And ember, Wade, like fire. Like the embers of a fire. It was
or
really
like
creative.
Wade, like wading through water.
Right now.
No.
This looks fun.
No, we're not the same element.
It was one of those teasers. It's fine. Can we do something else?
I like how he physically hurt her and was like, oh, I'm Wade.
Sorry. And she's like, my fuck. My fingers, they're falling off. I'm Wade.
I'm so sorry for anyone who had to listen to that.
Before we jump into our Andor retroactive looky loo for everything, let's first jump into our new segment that was requested by none other than Camden. We have our next edition of Fight Pathetical. First up, we have Tom Holland. For those of you who don't know what Fight Pathetical is, Fight Pathetical is when we take two elements from our news that we went through and trailers, and then we pair up two fighters, and we see who would win. This week, we have Tom Holland's Zorro versus Margot Robbie's Pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean. Who do we got?
Margot Robbie pirate.
Okay.
I feel like pirates from Pirates of the Caribbean
have
superpowers.
That's what I was thinking
gonna say,
also.
Who has access to guns in this situation?
Zorro is like a skilled
Zorro
swordsman.
Zorro is a swordsman.
He's a fox.
You're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Well, you could cut the bullet down the middle with a sword.
No, but the thing is, he has to draw. Yes,
it's your eyes.
He has to draw Z on anything he destroys.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd draw Z on the bullet and he'd be like, wait a minute.
I just made it into a shotgun bullet and it hit so many times.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So here we go for a second fight pathetic. We have Margot Robbie as the winner. Good job, Margot.
Great work. Good use of guns in this one. I think
we
need to start
keeping track of our winners, and then maybe for a special episode, we do like a tournament style with all the winners.
Okay.
And we determine an ultimate winner from all of our episodes.
I'll highlight. That's actually really good.
That's good. Like, that's good.
Hear me out. We'll do this in February for our Super Bowl one, where we cover the Super Bowl trailers and everything that comes out that week. We'll also make it a Thunderdome fight pathetical.
If we have enough by then.
Are you kidding me? We have James Gunn and Margot Robbie.
We're
going to
forget
so
why
far.
We chose need, like, these people.
Eight people to do this.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. That is fair. Margot Robbie pirate. There we go. Noted.
We're going to read Margot Robbie pirate and be like, from what?
What the f*** are we talking about?
Pirate from what?
Now, with this, I believe it's time for us to go to the past, Jackson. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
The events of Andor.
Andor. This week we're here to talk about Andor. This week we're back to talk about Andor, which follows Cassian Andor, one of the main characters of the 2016 Star Wars film Rogue One, where a bunch of ragtag rebels stole the plans to the Death Star. But what if 5 years before that, huh? That's what Andor answers. And I think there's only one person in this group who can give a solid plot summary about this. Jackson, would you like to introduce?
I'd love to. So,
you know,
Cassian
honestly,
Andor is a wanted man. That's literally how this series starts. And so, on his home planet, he's being hunted.
Ferrix.
He needs money. Ferrix is the home planet. I forgot that. Thank you. He needs money to get off planet. A guy, kind of shady, is like, I know who you are, Cassian Andor. You want to work for me? And he does. He goes and does a job for the rebels. Gets locked in jail. And it all ends up back on Ferrix with a frightening conclusion.
What is it? Like a horror movie. No, good job, Jackson. Yeah.
Frighteningly okay conclusion.
To kind of break down the structure of Andor, it is the first 12-episode Star Wars series. Realistically, could have been 9. Not saying that it was bad, but there's a solid
disagree.
There's like 4 chunks of 4 separate stories within the 12 episodes. So it's like 3 episode chunks. Here's one story. Here's the next. Here's the next. And when you look at it collectively, you're like, yeah. Flowy. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a point where, like, why are we here? Why are we on this gambling planet when Kylo Ren's trying to kill Rey? The Last Jedi has a lot of flaws in it. But I feel like if you lay it all out, I feel like there might be something. I don't think even it could be, like, 3 episodes, but I feel like maybe the combined total of an episode or two. But then you're just stuck with 11, and that's, like, a weird thing. Yeah. So 12 is, like the sacrifice, like, yeah, this is what we get kind of thing. I don't think it's drags in any areas or things like that. But before we get into what works and what doesn't work, our world famous segment, first we're going to talk about these gosh dang characters. And this first character we have is a brand new one to the Star Wars mythos. We have Cassian Andor.
He's not new. You lied.
So Cassian Andor, what do we think about this rogue type?
I think let's first say how we felt about him before the show, just based on Rogue One. And then maybe, do you think that the show made his character better, worse, same level?
When I first saw Andor in the Rogue One, also great idea, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Kevin, I want to give you props to that. I'm glad that I wrote for you to say that in the script where we have everything planned out beforehand. Yeah. but I thought Cassian Andor was this rogue type where it's just kind of like, he's just like, I'm for the rebellion and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see him in this show, he's like, I'm not for the rebellion. And I went, oh, somewhere along the line, this f***er is going to be all for the rebellion.
Episode 12.
Episode 12 is where we get him. But what about you, Jackson?
I never watched Rogue One.
Really?
So you were lost.
Well,
he's
no, because
love
this happened
Rogue
beforehand.
One. He eventually watches it. Like, he's going to go, oh my God, there's so much backstory to this.
I personally did not feel like Andor was a very compelling character. I feel like this series was made by all the supporting characters, but Cassian Andor himself, like in the scene where they, or like when he meets up with all the rebels, they're like, you're getting paid to do this? And I was like, yeah, what the hell? he's not doing it because he wants to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this really a character that you want to make like the hero of your show? I mean, I guess like they.
But we also have like characters in Star Wars before, like Han Solo is very much a type where he's like, I'm getting paid like, to help the rebellion. He came back
at the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
So people didn't think he hasn't gotten, in my eyes, Cassian Andor has not gotten his redemption. And I'm sure his redemption is actually just in Rogue One. But since I haven't seen that, this guy's just an asshole to me.
I totally see what you mean by that. And I feel like this isn't like a bad thing, but let me know what you guys think about this. This series gave me a lot of Dune vibes where they're doing awesome shit. But then some characters or like plot lines that they introduce, they kind of just introduce it because we know that it's confirmed for 2 seasons.
Right.
And you just kind of like, like there's some
kind of, go ahead.
There's some characters in the final episode where they're like loading up on a ship and Andor's like, hey guys, I'll see you soon. I'm like, I don't know half of these characters. Like, I'm like, I know that they're going to be defleshed out more, but why are we loading up all the season 2 characters on the ship to get their development later?
That's what I want to talk about, and like what works and what doesn't. Yeah. But it also like ties directly into his character is like Tony Gilroy, who like made the show.
Yeah.
Who also made Rogue One said like in an interview, it was basically like, I know that my end goal with this show is to be on Yavin 4 right before Rogue One, right? Like right before he gets sent off on his missions. But like, so like, obviously there's going to be like a lot of setup, and there's a lot of people saying like, oh, your first episode needs to be your 7th episode or whatever. And he's like, I didn't want to do that at all with this series. I wanted it to like actually have like, you watch it every week and then you think about it, and then the next one adds on to it, and it's like a proper TV series.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I feel like it was definitely different than a lot of the things we've seen so
yes.
far.
But no, I don't think in a bad way.
No, not at all.
I think it begs the question, does regular TV work for a franchise like Star Wars? But we'll get into that more when we get into our world famous segment, what works, what doesn't. Back to the character of Cassian Andor and just the series. Kind of a rogue. We definitely see some elements of like the... I think what it's missing is that Andor is not the charismatic charmer of Han Solo. He's like a gritty, like fight and scrap dog. Where if he's like left alone with someone, he can't charm his way out. He's just gonna like pick up a rock and like break the guy's skull open. Yeah. And you're like,
I mean, you see that in the start of Rogue One though.
Yeah.
Too. Remember in like the beginning, like he's like, hey, you help me run away from the Empire. And the guy's like, my leg. And he's like, that sucks.
And just kills shoots the guy. Him in the head.
So like he's like hardened by the time it comes to Rogue One.
Yeah. And we definitely see there's some elements within just this series alone where you're kind of like, that's probably not gonna make him a great guy.
Yeah. I think like this series is about him becoming a hardened guy for the right reasons.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the series, he's just kind of a jerk.
For know? No reason.
He's just like a dude. Was he looking for his sister in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That gets thrown away almost entirely.
Yeah, I saw that. All right, I was going to mention that.
And I didn't even notice that till I'm thinking about it just now because I watched it every week. So for me, that was so long ago.
Right.
But like to you, you just thought about that.
Because they say specifically, they're saying, Cassian, stop looking for your sister. And then he does. Yeah, you would think that'd be like, don't stop looking for your sister. She's out there somewhere. Nope.
Yeah. Do you think she's going to be part of season 2?
I feel like it's going to be something that happens like in the middle of it. But instead of it being like a Luke Skywalker reveal, you're like, oh, yeah, he was looking for his sister.
Yeah, probably.
Like, oh, I forgot that was a plot line. Before we get further into this, Jackson, I just got to say, I think there's so many side characters. Not in a bad way. There's so many side characters. There are almost full episodes where Andor has a conversation with someone, and that's the development we get for his character, which is fine because you're juggling a lot of plates. But again, back to the thing I said before we even started watching the series. Does it need to be called Andor?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel even if it was called like Andor, Rise of the Resistance or something like, or like like the Spark of Rebellion or something like that. And you go, okay, it's going to be mainly focused on the building of the rebellion.
I agree.
Which is what this show is called. Because you get like, Andor's the main character, but this is the point of the series. Yeah. With it just called Andor, you're kind of like, yeah, but is it?
They put a lot of emphasis, and I mean, we're going to talk about this in the next two characters, I guess two of the characters coming up. There's a lot of politics, Star Wars politics, if you will.
Stolitics.
Stolitics. and it's almost like, yeah, this is really just all about them like finding funding for the rebellion. Andor is kind of just like a pawn in their game, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's not even like when Luthen recruits him, he's like, he's a killer. You guys need him. Like, he wasn't even like that useful.
There's more vicious people on the
team. Yeah, I was like, guys literally have like everyone you need. Like he's kind of just, he doesn't seem like he's trained in combat.
There could have been a different emphasis of like, he can fly anything, which is like a solid Star Wars thing.
They just emphasize that they're like, we need another person.
Yeah.
And Luthen was like, I know this guy can do most things really well.
Yeah.
And they really just desperately needed a body. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that kind of the whole
thing?
Was
they needed a person. And then we just got our main character.
So like, I don't think I have a complaint in that
regard
necessarily.
Yeah. But our next character we have is Luthen Rael. Which
I think he's such a fucking cool character.
Hated how he said Cassian Andor.
Andor.
Yeah.
Andor. So you hate the actor's accent.
Well, yeah, it's just like come on. Andor is not that hard to say. It's like Cassian Andor.
But I think Luthen is awesome because we know the most extreme of the Empire because we see, okay, there's a fourth plot line in this story, which is good. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's a lot to keep track of in this show following these Empire people. And you see some who are just selfish.
Security Bureau.
So you see that there's a lot of Empire people who are extreme selfish. They're like, oh, well, these kind of aliens will go in this thing. Like they use like politics and race to kind of frame things so that way they can get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extreme of the Empire. Luthen is the extreme side of the rebellion. He will kill whoever. He will take whatever he needs. And he will do what is needed in order for the rebellion to start. But he's like Saw Gerrera, that fun little guy. He makes a few appearances in this season. Mm-hmm. So get excited. Get your saw on if you're excited for that. But Saw Gerrera is like this guerrilla warfare dude. And Luthen's just like, we could blow up a planet if needed for the rebellion.
Yeah.
And then Saw's like,
it's like, I have the money.
Why are you doing that, though? We don't need that.
I think it's cool they introduced a just brand new character.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, well, someone you already have seen before fills this role.
It's
you
Ahsoka.
Know? Right.
She went crazy. But I think he's an interesting foil for the rebellion. Because you see him butt heads with Mon Mothma a lot of like what the rebellion needs to stand for. There's even one part without getting into too specific where he willingly is like fine with like, we can let these people die because then the Empire isn't any wiser about what we know.
Right.
And then you're like, oh my God, that's
he's
like
brutal.
That's not good.
I loved his scenes with Mon Mothma in his shop. I loved the secrecy that they had to have, especially because like you learn like the driver is like also someone who's like listening. Like you kind of learn everyone's listening to everything. Like the whole show is like, how do you start a rebellion without them knowing about it pretty much?
Yeah.
But I found their like shop scenes to be particularly shot and like written very well.
Particularly shop very well.
All right, man. You can't do it with everything because then you change the meanings of the sentences.
And also there's cool Easter eggs in Luthen's shop.
Why not, while we're talking about Luthen, also talk about Mon Mothma? I know you had it two characters down.
I agree.
I think it's a good transition. These were the two
went through the list
political characters.
I looked up Andor characters, and I just started writing down the ones that were important. And Mon Mothma was a fourth important person I saw. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mon Mothma, I've heard that name before.
Yes.
Was she in like Mandalorian or some?
Mon Mothma was in the originals. Mon Mothma was in the prequels. She's in Rebels.
She's in a lot.
And she's just known to be
she's
like
a senator
the who, senator who supports kind of
the
rebellion.
The rebellion
it's like when Bail Organa, Leia's dad, shows up. Because you see him show up in like the prequels, and then you see him show him up in Obi-Wan, and he also appears in Rogue One. He's another one of those figures where it's like, the rebellion is needed and things like that. Mon Mothma is much more of a, not like a figurehead, but more so like a... She's one of the main like forces pushing for the rebellion to happen. Mm. But the way that she's handling it is she's trying to like get random gaps in her budgets covered so that way she can help. I bought this ship for the rebellion, but I need to cover it with like, oh, this is a donation to this people. But in order to do that, she needs to open up her network to more people who are open to like lying about the payments so the rebellion can build.
Yeah.
She was very interesting. Her daughter sucks so fucking much.
I know. What an
reason.
Her husband also sucks.
Her husband
but it was
sucks
like,
for great reason.
Okay, that's
she had
clearly
no choice.
Like a freaking comment on like how children can be groomed into any belief, any ideology. You know, like that child could easily be a Mon Mothma clone, but she ended up being like her dad's clone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a statement on that. I really liked Mon Mothma and Luthen's parallels, but like they were very opposite at the start of the series and they kind of had to like take each other's viewpoints by the end. You know, like
they both
Mon
had
Mothma
to compromise
very,
in
like,
different ways.
I cannot let anyone know that I'm doing this. I have to be like perfect, pristine. And by the end, she does things that like she like really didn't want to do at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Whereas Luthen is like very hardcore. Let's just kill anyone that knows anything. But by the end of the series, he comes to realize like people are important as well to the rebellion, not just the cause.
You can't have a rebellion if you don't have people to rebel with you.
Exactly.
Right.
which is really cool. And then you get those fun characters. Finally, before we jump into kind of umbrella groups, we have Marva Andor, Cassian's mother, who was a rebellion sort of like.
Didn't expect to see Andor's mom in this show going into it.
Didn't expect to see her this much and have her have such a prevalent role.
Like after the first few episodes.
You're like, yeah, this is a backstory stuff.
You know, I it makes sense to me because Andor doesn't have like a tragic backstory. His tragic backstory is his being pulled away from his planet. But he doesn't. He didn't see it happen.
He got them killed.
He just got to hurt.
Like, indirectly.
I don't think so.
I don't think we know.
He went forward to take something. It was like that whole planet was doomed anyways. Yeah, he just accidentally, instead of it being like, Superman's parents.
He pretty much believes, like for the most part, he's like, well, he has a lot of survivor skill with it.
Yeah, which is a different kind of thing to like, unlike Superman being like, I'm the last of my planet. He's like, I'm the last of my planet.
Yeah. Yeah, but like him being pulled from his planet by Marva, who was like, we can't leave him here. He's going to die. Yeah. Like it wasn't even like malicious in any way.
Yeah.
She was important to him because she taught him, she and her partner, I forget his name, taught him everything he knew.
There were so many characters. Clem. Oh yeah, he took his dad's name when he was undercover.
Which that's is kind of confusing because sometimes I heard it and it's like, is his name Kurt now? What's going on? And it just like kept switching and I was like.
Although Clem, yeah, it fits Cassian. Like looking at the guy,
he's a Clem guy.
Before Cassian.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering the scene where he's like Clem. I was like, damn, he got that quick.
Man, he's great at
and
improv.
And then I was like, oh, wait, that's his dad's name. Yeah. He just had it like off the top. That makes sense.
But Marva Andor is a very cool character. She's a figurehead for Ferrix. She is one of those people who sparks the rebellion. There's a lot of different instances going on across the galaxy around this time.
Yeah.
She's definitely one of them on Ferrix, you know. You kind of get to know her beliefs throughout the show. But, like, she's just, like, a cool, don't want to see more of her, but she was, like,
she's done.
Yeah, like, her arc was complete and her purpose was given.
We don't need a Tales of the Jedi spinoff.
And it was done very well, so let's just kind of forget her.
Cassian
in the next
Andor's
season.
Mom. You know what I mean? Like, she can show up in a flashback.
Oh, my God. I have so many things to say. Hang on.
But, yeah, get ready for that. Now we get to some of the umbrella terms. Yeah. There's so many fucking characters in Andor. Not a bad thing, but some characters. I'll use this one character because he dies in the second episode as an example. Someone is introduced as, like, a boyfriend of an ex of Andor's in Andor's life. The boyfriend rats out on Andor and then realizes that ratting out is wrong. And instead of having any kind of, like, oh, I'm going to change my ways, he gets shot on the stairs and falls down it. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're like, just put a no-name character in there. Why did we follow this character for 20 combined minutes of the total, like, 60 minutes we had of the first two episodes. But regardless, we have Andor's friends, which is made up of a bunch of rebellion. I'll just read their names.
Let's group the Andali.
The Ferrix people together and then all the rebel people.
Aldani, that's what it was. Their Aldani mission that they had to do.
Oh, the Aldani mission.
Right.
All the rebel
people.
Peeps.
Like Vel, Nemec, Skeen, who else?
Arvel.
Like, people like that. Let's like kind of talk
what
about that.
These names suck.
Right? Let's talk about that group, the Aldani group first.
The rebel folks.
Yes. Rebel folks who also knew Luthen. There was so many different interconnections.
Yeah. I hate Skeen.
You hate Skeen? Yeah, I hate Skeen too.
Fuck Skeen.
Don't
right here.
Remember, no spoilers.
Oh, hey, everyone who sees Andor, fuck Skeen.
Fuck Skeen, for real, for real.
For real, for real. All the homies hate Skeen.
But overall, I think they were, like, the rebels in particular were written pretty well.
Yeah. I liked Vel's character. I liked Vel's, who was she with? The other girl.
It was.
Oh, that. There's just one character.
Cinta? Yeah.
She's a cooler character.
They were so cool.
Series.
They made a gay joke. Did you guys catch the gay joke? That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you catch the gay joke?
I
because they were clearly
the
lovers.
Right.
But it was also like the Disney lovers where it was like, we can't show anything, you know?
Oh,
we'll get banned in China.
Yeah.
Star Wars is super
that.
Big
said,
there.
Yeah. They were like cleaning out the apartment and she was like, did you clean out the closet? And she was like, it's empty. You know, like, haha, they're out of the closet.
I do remember that.
But I thought their characters were
Wait, there's gay characters in Star Wars?
No.
They're great. The one kid who writes in his journal, forget his name.
Nemec. His manifesto, fantastic.
Great manifesto. Of the two manifestos I have read, his is a lot more appealing.
Gotta say. No, but that guy is sort of like the voice of reason for Cassian moving forward in the series. From like the point where they meet.
Yeah. He's literally, I mean, his whole character is like, the rebellion's good. And you go, Yeah, kid.
Yeah.
And Andor was almost like, you're right, tussles his hair. Yeah. It seems like no one wanted the manifesto, and the kid's like, I'm writing a manifesto.
Yeah.
And then later in the season, everyone's like, I love this f***ing manifesto.
Yeah.
But other than that, those are our rebel peeps. Great job. Great job all around. Now we go
There's
back.
Also people on the planet, like Bix.
Yeah.
Bix is an important character.
Who's Bix?
Bix is...
The ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's Ferrix. The Ferrix people.
Yeah.
So there's Bix, his ex-girlfriend, the boyfriend, who's dead.
The big dude. There's the B-droid, B2 droid.
Okay, hey, sometimes...
B2 emo or something?
Hey.
B-teemo?
Droids can be Lucasfilms characters.
We don't need a robot in every series. If you could do it without lightsabers, we don't need a robot who has a stutter. You know what I mean? Like, is this clearly broken robot? What was its purpose?
Fix it.
First of all, fix the robot. It's not like the robot can be fixed. And second of all, this robot had no purpose in the whole series.
Yeah.
Every time Cassian's like, I'm going to go rob this Empire base, he's like, can I come? And he's like, well, you can't roll correctly, so you stay here. And he's like, you always say that. And then he goes like, yeah, bye.
You always deliver. That was actually a very sad
That's a cute
scene.
Line.
It was like, oh, the droids are like pets in Star Wars. Yeah. But then that begs the question, why don't they have pets in Star Wars?
Yeah, why is C-3PO considered a pet? He's
droids,
a fully sentient
That's
being.
What I'm saying. They're like actually things. They think they have feelings, and they're like,
I don't know why you're looking at me.
Jackson,
Star
did you
Wars
write it like this? And you're such an ass.
Well, he's like, oh my God, the Empire's coming. They go, shut up, C-3PO. He's just trying to help.
Here's my thoughts on why they don't have pets. Because every single beast that they put in Star Wars is like from hell. You know, they don't really make cute animals unless the porks.
Yeah.
But you're right. Why is there no pork empire where they import and export porks?
Import.
That's a great question.
Huh? Import and export. Thank you. There's also just to highlight, the prison episodes are the best ones in the series.
Kino, played by Andy Serkis. Maybe let's talk about him a little
Curveball.
Bit.
Curveball. Kino.
Andy Serkis, surprise cameo.
Surprise cameo.
Cameo.
He's already played like the bad guy, Snoke, from the sequel series. Mm-hmm. But he's playing just a guy in this one.
Dude.
A lot of humans. We'll get into it with what works, what doesn't work. His character's very cool. He's, I would say, has more development in the episodes that he's in than Andor does in this season.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Because sometimes you need some characters to push the plot forward. Mm-hmm. And then we get, speaking of characters to push plot forward, we got bad guys. We got two bad guys. There's a third one, but I forgot his name. And also is really not that important. He's the Tweedledee to this guy's Tweedledum. We have Deidre Miro and Cyril Karn. Cyril is the biggest soy boy ever.
Oh my God.
I wish something bad would happen to him accidentally.
I got so tired of watching the scenes with him and his mother. I was just like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
He was not important. He literally, I can't get into it because this was in the last episode, but he has no impact on this story whatsoever. The only thing he was important in the first three episodes, and they're like, the Empire literally fires him, and they keep putting emphasis on his character, even though he's out of the equation.
I think
he's just creepy.
I think it would have been cooler if they did something where like we have like a couple episodes without him, and then they show him again, like he's obsessed. Mm-hmm. But what we get is the constant visuals of him being obsessed. And we're like, yeah, we get it. Yeah, we know he hates Andor. Yeah, we got it. To the point where it's like, and then he shows up and you're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Shoot the robot? What are you going to do?
Or something?
Yeah. You know, if you point a gun at Andor, Andor's going to break his fucking nose and then leave him for dead.
Yeah.
I think he was a fun minor villain who provided a lot of setup.
Yeah.
I think, for
this
him.
This dude is major Dune vibes.
This dude is major season two vibes.
Season two vibes.
But I really think the main like villain that was like done very well.
Deidre.
Was Deidre Miro.
Oh, Deidre.
Yes,
Deidre.
I think they say Deidre in the show.
I don't know, man. All
I
these
think
f-ing names.
The British guy, the old British guy, was
Deidre.
Like, Deidre Miro.
Hey, before we talk about Deidre, all these names are f-ing stupid, right?
Yes, I was.
His
thinking
name was
about
Major
that.
Partagaz. That's his name.
Star Wars
thing.
I genuinely think they were like, all right, choose five letters. We're going to jumble them together, see what works. Because every name
cool,
was like
though.
Five or four
like
letters.
Some Star Wars names are like kind of sick.
No, like,
and then some are like, what? Huh?
Like Cassian Andor. You're like solid protagonist
solid.
Name. Fuck yeah. Cyril Karn. You looked at cereal and you looked at corn and you went, let's switch it a little bit and then make it his name. Deidre Miro.
I don't like Deidre Miro as a name. I like her character.
As a character? great. It's like we get a lot of the like the woman wants to succeed further into the workforce, completely like overrun by dudes, and they're all like, "Oh, you're a woman, so you can't do that." And she's clearly better than all of them at the position. And you're like, "You go, girl." They remember she's the Nazi party.
Yeah.
And you go,
yeah. This show. This show emphasizes so hard that the Empire is the bad guys. Like, it's almost like they thought people don't understand that, and they were like, "We guys, you know that they're bad, right? You know that they're the bad guys."
See, that's the point.
I made that joke. I was watching this with friends on about episode 10. We all kept doing this thing where we were like, "Guys, I think the Empire's bad."
Yeah, like they really
they would just do really evil things, and you're like,
No, because like they're having this one like break room scene where they're like, "Oh, this thing's coming up," and it's like we could stage it as a hit and run robbery and kill everyone
and
there.
You go, oh my god!
And then they're like, yeah. "Excellent idea, Deidre," and then you go, "Wait,
but they're the police.
Wait, that's like super bad. You're the policing force." Wait!
Oh no, you're the bad guy. I didn't know after all 9 movies.
We'll torment you with the screams of children if you do anything wrong and don't give us information.
Yeah,
that was a plot point. Get worse every piece of content they put out.
It's
like,
so
in
crazy.
A New Hope, it was like, "It's a probe droid. It might stick a needle in you." And then it was like, "This one, we're going to enter your mindscape and we're going to put screaming torture sounds into your head until you are no longer a sane person."
How about that? And then you'll tell us what you want. Okay, cool. Let's jump into our world famous segment, What Works, What Doesn't Work. What works? Characters, as many of them as there are, a lot of them are great. A lot of them are not one note, but they're very like, they all serve a different purpose to help push Cassian towards the revelation that he needs to join the rebellion much more than like help them in different ways. He needs to be an active part of it or things will stay the same. You get to see characters who aren't affected by the Empire, like the people in the political scenes and things like that, where they're like, "Oh, we could do whatever we want. I'm eating mushy go-go beads." And they're like, "Oh, their life's great." And you get someone like Cyril, who's like, "I need to be with the Empire because I don't have a purpose." And then you get people like Andy Serkis's character, where he's like, "Oh, well, this is the system. And if I follow the system, I can benefit it. I don't agree with the system, but it works." And then when they realize that the system is fucked, they go, "Oh, fuck the system. We should do the rebellion thing." But all of them combined make awesome arcs and different things like that. But as
no
you
fat.
Can see,
there's no fat on no this fat, show. No I think fat. Is the thing. Like, there's no character that I can point out that I'm like, they like were too much for the show. Like, they added too much, like too many characters. Like,
how about characters all, like, who didn't have add enough?
Sure, there's like that, but like I don't think that like any of them was like fluff. You know,
I'm
I don't
Jar Jar like Binks, and you're like, why is Jar Jar here?
Like, everything felt very intentional, and every shot did too, which is like a very good thing about this show.
Cinematography. Can we talk about this? There's one thing when they're doing a heist.
They did a great job. I think everything in this, like even what took me away, the first scene, him walking up to the bar. You could just tell there was so much effort put into like the characters in the background, the atmosphere, the buildings. It's like, I mean, Star Wars always does it great, but I feel like in this show, like they really did a good job.
They didn't just show something cool. They took their time with it. Like, they wouldn't start walking. You'd see them walk the whole way through a town and you go, wow, there's a lot of detail in this. Holy shit.
But it's like, they did not cut corners.
They had the chance because it was like such a long series and they know they have a season 2 to like do things that are like so subtly important, like the bell tower, that guy, just watching him like almost every episode like bang it, and then like watching him like actually have like something
an arc
not necessarily an arc, but like you kind of realize like why that was like in each episode, and it also like is like a good like instead of just switching scenes, they have something that adds to the story,
like an indicator, so whenever we hear that noise, we're like, okay, we're back on Ferrix.
It adds to the story. It's cool, and they had time to do it. Whereas, like, a Marvel show might just kind of be like, cut that, because it doesn't really add enough to the story, you know? Like, we have limited time.
Here's Allegra Valentina. It's episode 6.
They can sprinkle things rather than being like, and here's the plot, and here's the plot, and here's the plot.
X-Men theme. What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
Something like that.
Yeah. This is a very, very, very well-made show, and it just happens to be a Star Wars show.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. And I think that's what works and also what doesn't work.
Right.
This is such a well-made show. It's super great. But then you also throw in like the intergalactic politics of everything, and you see the area. Like,
that's
almost,
for some people, not for all people.
Yeah.
So please don't make every Star Wars content like this.
Yes.
This is great, but let's like keep it to the products that deserve it, like Andor. You know?
I swear to God, if they do this to Mandalorian,
I don't think they will.
Like, that's like John Favreau.
That deserve to be like, this is the space wizard show. Yeah. And that's kind of the Mandalorian right now.
Yeah. And like, it's, I think we get a good balance. And I also think that's where like it benefits having like these one-offs and things like that with Star Wars Visions. Because you get to go like, you get to go on these one-off things.
Oh, that was so far. Like and Tales of the Jedi.
And you hear people go like, I love this Ronin style, like Jedi walking through and killing Sith. And they went, oh, shit. Well, there's an Ezra Bridger series coming up. Maybe we, and then like they can take those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, very, very fun Star Wars adventure. Epic, action's great, super fun. Anything else you want to touch on before we get into what doesn't work?
Oh, my.
Writing was great. Yeah. Every conversation felt intentional.
Purposeful.
And I just, like just like some of the things they say, I'm like, wow, these writers really knew where they wanted to go. Like,
yeah.
So. Right. I think that they, for the first time in like, forever, like since, like, I guess The Mandalorian is a good example. Like, Star Wars has planning again. Mm-hmm. The show is clearly planned, and they like planned it for years prior to, like, right when Rogue One came out, they knew they were making this show. So the show has had like a lot of time and thought put into it, and it like definitely really shows. There's just like so many subtle things in the show that it's hard to say like what works. So I just like to say, like, overall, they did like a very detailed job with the show.
Yeah,
it all feels like just very well made. Like it's a hard way to describe it other than just like, wow, this is like a really well made piece of content.
Not to say it's perfect,
right? No,
it's to say it's a really well made show.
Like, you can really appreciate the quality while you're watching it,
kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
Now let's jump into what doesn't work. Jackson, I know you are a stickler for this. Plot conveniences.
Yes.
I feel like there's two or three major times. One of them, I was watching it, and Andor's confused when something is happening to him. Me as an audience is going, why the fuck is this the reason that this is moving the plot forward?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then later they give us this.
I actually don't.
You really?
This banging segment of 3 to 4 episodes where we meet these awesome characters and we get one of the hypest prison riot breaks ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how we got there was complete bullshit. Like, there were so many ways they could have connected it to that to make him go there. But what ended up happening was like.
Like how he got to the prison?
Yeah.
Okay, like you mean like he just like randomly got arrested?
Yeah, but like, his face is plastered everywhere and he wasn't hiding his face?
Let me put this in perspective. He went 6 episodes evading the police.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his money. He's gone. He doesn't need to do anything anymore. He's out of there. Then he gets arrested for the dumbest reason possible.
Right.
I would much rather have been like them recognize him.
You're right.
Or something like that.
There's so many reasons why you're wrong too. Like, imagine if they did recognize him.
You're right.
Show's over
been,
there.
You're right. You're
they'd
absolutely go to the, right.
They'd torture him and then get information out of him and then kill him. And
yeah.
There's no Rogue One. But
they.
I think it also just kind of showed, like, the whole point of the prison was, like, they're just enlisting slaves. They're not imprisoning
you're
people.
Right.
They're collecting slaves.
Yeah. But it just felt so lame.
But with, like, how well
transitioned. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not wrong, but, like, also, like, with the way that they wrote it.
Yeah.
It,
like the reveal of those episodes is you're like, oh damn, they're doing that. But you can't put like amazing effort into everything.
Mm.
I feel like that was one of the things where they had a different transition, but then in the rewrites and like shooting and everything, they went, oh, we didn't. And then they like were quickly like, well, the Empire is a piece of shit. Maybe they just do this thing. And it's fine. But when you look at like the Pontiac, like waves of this show throughout, that is clearly like a part where you're like, okay.
It was a harsh transition from like where you were.
Transition to something awesome, but
I like best arc in the close to best arc in the
but
show, I'd say.
Like, I feel like we can all agree that that could have been that we don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying do it this way, just that could have been handled differently,
right?
Maybe
the one part of the show they didn't necessarily fully flesh out, but they didn't maybe
but
they didn't think they needed to either.
You but know, I have another thing, I want to hear what else you guys think doesn't work.
Kevin, go ahead. I have one thing as well, but I want to hear. Do you
go ahead? I'd like to think about it more.
Okay. I didn't think it would come to me this quickly.
I didn't.
I have a feeling that you're going to say something very along the lines. And so I'm just going to blanket statement here.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like fully Star Wars, you know? And
that wasn't what I was going to say.
That isn't what you were going to say. Okay, well, for me, two things. We already talked about this a bit. There's no lightsabers in this show.
No.
Not that they needed it, but it's just like, you know, that's kind of like your whole
thing. Go-to.
But I guess this is like at a point where there's no Jedi, right?
Which is like Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Far removed from Jedi, like yeah. decade past.
Right, least. Okay. So I guess it like makes sense. My other thing was there was a very big lack of aliens.
Yeah. Where's our alien representation?
So the only response I have to that, right, is like...
And I know you're not trying to find excuses. You're just...
takes place like in... on Ferrix, mm-hmm. right? Which like when you think about it, most planets kind of stick to one... race for the most part, like right. in the Star Wars universe, that like you're sense. From one place, you're that race, kind of.
Yeah,
like
right. But like that,
we would
that,
be my like Earthlings. You know,
my thing like, is, why in jail were they all human?
I think it's because of the way that the jail was set up, and like you're gonna think I'm jumping through hoops here, but I actually think it makes a lot of sense. Is because I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. I don't really think it is. It's not that big of a deal. The way that the jail works is the floor is electrified, right?
Right.
You know that that will affect humans. What if there's like some creature in the Star Wars universe that isn't affected by electric floors? I think they probably just think it's easier for prison purposes to group the same species together, because then you have all like, you could make the same jail cell for them. You can make the same size everything. Like you don't need different size toilets or showers or things like that. It's all like uniform, you know?
But also they could
have different floors were different species.
But to that... they could have also kept everything uniform, and it doesn't work for other alien races and things like that. But they just made like a blanket to show how little they care. They're like, this is designed for the majority of alien races.
I was so more so just like, they have the resources and they have like all these beautiful like sceneries, but they didn't do like the Star Wars thing. Like,
I don't think you're wrong. I think the problem was like, we didn't necessarily like stay to one place, but like once you got there, you really focused in. Every Coruscant scene was either in the shop or in Mon Mothma's house. There was like one brief Senate scene where we probably saw some aliens along and like,
and that's like senators. Like squinting,
but like Coruscant, you were at those two places. Ferrix, you were in the town square, or Cassian's house, you know, you're in but and maybe that's because of like COVID filming restrictions.
Maybe they only really had set
they didn't
things,
use the volume either a lot in this show. They used it for like
looks pretty
they
looks
did use
really
it though
pretty.
That was a lie. They said they didn't use it at all. They did in things like windows and stuff. They would use it in the background
in
but
ships.
They didn't use it as like literal backgrounds like the Mandalorian does.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Say what you will about Boba Fett, we got a fair use of aliens.
That's true.
Got a fair use
of
aliens.
A lot of aliens in Boba Fett.
And I think that's fine. Andor season 2, let's knock up the alien counter for sure. You know what I mean? Especially to the idea of the rebellion. Other races would want to rebel too.
Right.
I feel like more so than just humans.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's something that will like, maybe that's why they're like, oh, if these people are sneaking into this place, we couldn't have a giant Twi'lek showing up or a Wookiee, which is fine. And I know we're going to get more into that, but if you're going to Dune to us right by giving us more aliens.
I think that your criticisms about it being not Star Wars, I get that too. Yeah, it doesn't feel...
Not to say that like the space fights, dogfights, everything
like
is in craziness.
I'd like to clarify. I like this version of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like anything we've gotten before. And it's weird.
Like, trying to find like, do I like it when there's less aliens, less lightsabers or things like that? But also,
I think they need to find a good balance.
And I feel like they find it mainly with The Mandalorian, but I want them to keep trying things.
I think The Mandalorian now... leaning way too hard into fan service.
Yeah, with the Ahsoka and everything.
Is just like they threw that was their show to bridge all other shows, which like, fine, I get it.
We'll launch off from there.
Yeah, it's like, I guess we got to start somewhere, you know? But I don't know. I thought Andor was a nice breath of fresh air. I'm still mad it's good.
Yeah. No,
like,
hey.
We talked about
this. Yeah, no, we're talking about how we're like, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good, and we were all going to hate that it was good. Yeah. And kind of, here we are.
Do you have your thing?
I really don't have anything like other than what you guys have said about like what doesn't work with the show.
Oh my god, that's so weird, Jackson. That's weird. That's so weird. Did they let a barn animal in here? Because we got a Star Wars sheep. No, I'm kidding. My last thing that I had to say, and I want to see if you guys caught it. Great show all around. Mm-hmm. At least 80% of the episodes ended at the worst possible time. So they build up onto one point. Someone gets captured, like, and then they cut to a scene of a guy typing on a computer, and then it ends.
Sure.
They're running away from someone, and then a guy's mopping a floor, then it ends. But it's not like a bump, 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 like a guy's mopping up blood and it's hiding something. It's just another scene that should have happened before the ending scene. Or like Luthen's like, it looks like I'm going to go have to find Cassian Andor. He sits down in his chair. He starts the ship. The ship jumps off into light speed. And then there's an Empire guy going, well, it looks like the rebels might be building an army. Let's look into that further. I'm like, why the f*** is that the ending scene and not Luthen shooting off into space? It had the worst ending times
Yeah.
I have seen.
I think what doesn't work for me about this show is, and this is going to sound a little stupid, is the fact that it is two seasons. I don't even necessarily think that they're, because what are they doing? Like 9 episodes in the next 12. One or something? They're doing 12 again.
12 again.
12, wow.
12 but 12, like 80. They already like said what each, like they're doing like 3-episode arc at this time frame and then this time frame and then this. So like we know like that it's going to start jumping through time more quickly, I guess. But it just, I don't like that we got this first season. That was only over like
3 months.
3 month period of time in the Star Wars universe. And then the next season that we have to wait years for now, by the way,
right,
is going to take place over multiple years of time. It's kind of like, I wish maybe we did half and half. Yeah. Or it was all one long season.
Or they make it like a 20 season.
That, 20 like, episodes. That's just season. Like a normal season of TV for most TV seasons. Like, you know?
Yes.
You just actually reminded me of something else I didn't like. I'll make it quick. They had a lot of characters who they, you know, they panned to. They established that they were in this place. Mm-hmm. And then the finale comes. And you're like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with this character? They do one thing and that's it.
Yeah.
Like Cinta in particular. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. She, for multiple episodes, she was stalking people Ferrix. That's the word. And then the final episode.
I mean, I couldn't keep track.
She does one thing.
Mm-hmm. And you like, go, cool. Why did you
tease that for 4 episodes?
And I feel like hers is a lot more like, okay, cool. Rather than fucking Cyril's.
I think what I hate about this show is like logically... They made it so that you can explain every plot hole. But while you do it, you're like, I hate that I have to explain this.
Yeah.
You know, right. Things like that where you're like, well, maybe they were just trying to show that like maybe people have very minor roles, but are also important. But it's just one thing. But it's also like, why do I have to sit here and justify?
I think they made too many characters and they tried to like make each of them have their arc and they needed to push them off to season 2. So it didn't feel like.
But then the ones that
fully great on the finale.
But then the ones that they did push off, you're like, I wanted their arcs. Yeah. I didn't give a shit about this character's ex-boyfriend who died within 2 episodes. Also, there's a lot of people who are like, I'm going to portray Andor for money. Don't do that. That's like a dumb thing to do. Not only because that's not cool, but you're going to die.
He's the main character. Obviously, you're
going to
die.
Even if you show up in one episode and you're like, I'm going to show up in the finale again to help rat out Andor, you're going to have a grenade blow up your face. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't fully do anything bad, you will die. True. So don't do that to Andor. But it's not like a Han Solo. He'll sleaze his way out. Bad things will just happen around Andor and you will end up dead.
Yeah.
What do we give Andor? The Rise of Rebellion. That's such a better title. Out of 5 trash can robots. I think this one, in my eyes, I think this one gets a solid 4.4.
Wow.
I think it's a solid, not very show. It's a very good show.
4.75.
Wow. Yeah.
That brings up that's my 95 is what I'm giving it.
I was gonna give it a 3.8.
Yeah.
Jackson, you know that's a 76, right?
I do.
Jackson, I think this is the second best show we've seen this year.
This is like objectively, this was a very good show.
The show bored me for the first half of the season.
It's called Andor, not Andor.
Look, Jackson. I acknowledge that it was written very well, and if you like Star Wars, you like Star Wars. But at the end of the day, I don't like Star Wars that much. So for a Star Wars show, it's good to me. I'm pretty sure I gave The Mandalorian an 8 out of 10. And that was peak Star Wars for me. Mm. So this being a 76 is like me acknowledging that this was a good show.
Yeah.
I don't like Star Wars.
Yeah. I think I gave like Mandalorian a 90. So like.
So we still factor in Jackson's review here, right?
Yes. You gotta.
And you know, in statistics, you wouldn't.
Well, I mean, he's an outlier. But other than that, you got
4-4?
Yeah, 4-4.
Here, I'll look up the Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't think it's quite an A, but it's definitely a very good Star Wars, if you know what I'm saying. All right.
Yeah. We're at a 4.32 average.
Which is what?
86.
Would you believe that the audience score is 85%?
Oh, my God!
Jackson, thank you for the outline.
Surprisingly.
Because I thought I liked it slightly more. Cameron would, of course, appreciate it much more. And then you're like, it's not terrible.
Surprisingly, though, critics, 96. They really critics like the really show. Do like
stop the blowing show. This show's dick. People who say it's the best thing that Star Wars has made in years, shut up.
They're probably right.
No, Mandalorian.
Yeah, I will hardly say
nope, if we're counting.
Disagree. This is better made. Yeah,
but they say it's the best Star Wars.
Mandalorian brought me more enjoyment.
They said the best Star Wars. And in Star Wars, I think Star Wars enjoyment is like the first thing. What
follows that, is it best Star Wars content or this is the best Star Wars they've made? Because I think best Star Wars content is like different than saying best Star Wars. Because Star Wars is just like, does it feel like Star Wars? Did I feel like I'm watching Star Wars?
And that's Mandalorian.
This is like, man, I want to watch a good show.
And you're like, oh, it's Better so Call Saul's how, in this.
Like, this show, in a way, like almost makes the Mandalorian seem childish.
Yeah.
It's weird. Because like going into the show, I was like, that's the best Star Wars show. So good. So good.
And what's weird is now I want more childish Star Wars.
I do. I'm looking forward to childish
lightsaber
stuff.
Fights yeah, now.
I do.
I'm sick of this fucking pussyfooting around. Oh, the Jedi's are gone. We know they're back. Give us some Jedi's.
I think we might see an Ahsoka season 2.
Yeah.
I think.
In Ahsoka season 2?
We don't even have season 1
We don't have season 1 yet. What the f*** are you talking about? We have to wait that long? That's like 5 years.
Okay. Want to talk post-credit
scenes? Post-credit scenes. If you don't want to see, there was a post-credit scene. No, it does not set up Thunderbolts. But if you don't want that spoiled, feel free to come back in our next
spoiler. We already talked about a lot of spoilers.
The post-credit scene. So the thing that they were building in... What were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say the post-credit scene.
It's a spoiler how it connects to the show.
Yeah. So we see that the prisoners were making this one device item. It's like this weird metal cog. Now we see in the post-credit scene, it's really like a whatever because... And that's like, it does cool things, but I'm like, Rogue One already came out. Like, ooh, I know what happens.
No.
So what happens, though, is that like the pieces that the prisoners were connecting that they kept... people in and they were increasing their numbers and keeping them there and moving them to different prisons is because they are super, super speeding up the process of finishing up building the Death Star because they need that thing ready.
Everything's built, it looks like, except the laser, which is what they're building, sort of like what looks like the connection points between different panels.
Yeah.
Which
is like, Jesus criminy.
That's so f***ing sad when you think about it, because Jackson, Cassian Andor gets blown up by the Death Star in Rogue One. And so he's building the thing that kills him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He gets blown up by his planet or something?
Well, yeah, he's stealing the Death Star plans and they blow up the planet trying to prevent the plans getting off the planet.
But they end up getting off.
So otherwise the Star Wars movies would not happen. Yeah.
And then that immediately leads into episode 4.
Yeah.
I think the post-credit scene in season 2 is going to be Cassian's funeral and they're going to have his brick and it's going to be really sad. That's all I wanted to add.
Oh, that's a nice little theory.
It's really sad, though, because you're going to go, oh, it's not even his ashes, because his ashes got blown up with the planet.
Yeah.
It's just a ceremonial.
They could have scooped up a little bit of ashes.
They could have tried.
They were like, is this dirt or Cassian Andor's ashes? Oh, that's Cassian.
Doesn't smell like him. Throw it back.
That's generous. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, but okay. What are we excited for season 2? K2SO.
Yeah, the big old robot guy.
Big old robot guy, Jackson. This guy.
He's voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Supposedly, he was in season 1. I don't think that was him. But according to Google, he was.
Google.
I don't think that those were the same robots. That would be stupid.
Hey, website thing that bases my entire existence off of it that I often look for information. Fuck you, Google.
I personally, I think Cyril Karn is going to get a redemption, and I want to see it.
Oh, you think he's going to get a villain redemption or like
no,
he joins the
hero
rebellion?
Redemption.
I would love that.
I strongly disagree. I think Mosk is going to get the hero redemption. Did you not see what happened? He was like on his buddy.
Right.
This guy was fat.
He was on the stairs just like drinking after listening to Marva's speech. Oh, I want to talk about that too.
I was more so thinking because Andor saved his life or spared his life. You know?
Yeah. Like,
I was thinking that's like the start. And then he's realizing that his life is miserable because he's dedicating it to the Empire. That's what I would think.
I don't think so.
I think he wants to bone
He wants to bone her. They got, okay, their chemistry though. That was kind of hot.
What are you talking about? I hate it. I hate when they talk. When they talk to each other, I'm like,
I know.
I hate
it's weird.
This.
It's creepy.
She's like, but I could call the police. And he's like, you could. And I'm like, why
don't you though?
We both want the same thing.
I waited 4 hours for you to pass by.
No, I think his friend is going to have a hero arc in a second. He's going to join the rebellion or something. But what I want to see in season 2 is the purchase/acquisition of Yavin 4. How does that come to be?
How do you buy a planet?
Clearly, they don't have a base yet. They're still like just communicating at different places.
That's the money she's hiding.
Do you think you could buy a planet for $400,000?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Why not?
Just get a Star
Wars universe. Inflation's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I'd live in Star Wars land. I mean, there's fascism, but other than that, it's
pretty. Hey, I mean, if you're in Coruscant, you're having a great time.
You might be able to go.
If you're an aristocrat, you are good to go. Finally, last thing, really not important. But I mean, it's really cool and important, but I mean, like, if you don't want to stay for this last bit. I love that speech at the end, right? That speech was great. Mm-hmm. I know you have one little note about how it was slightly Marva changed. Speech. Marva's speech was fucking awesome. And when that big fucking just like knocked someone in the head with the tombstone.
Her brick.
Yeah, oh, I was like, yeah!
So good. You know she would have wanted that. But there was a Redditor a long time ago before the show came out.
That now, this is a reliable source.
Not a Redditor.
That claimed that they had the plot of the finale of Andor and they wrote it out. Now looking back on it, it matches exactly to what they said. And so this was like a legit leak. Except at the end when she says, fight the Empire. She was supposed to say, fuck the Empire. But they didn't let her say it. So if you look at her lips like doing it, it looks like she says, fuck the Empire, but really? They just dubbed over fight.
Is that what you were going to tell me?
That's what I wanted to tell you about the finale. Okay. I think that would have like, I if they did I, that, they did I would have gone,
go best Star Wars
This
show.
Is the best Star Wars yeah. show. They said, fuck. Fuck isn't canon to Star Wars, Jackson.
Really?
They could say, they say dank ferret.
They say dank ferret.
They say nerf herder, but they say Cyril Korn. Which
is
weird
because their planet is Cyril Korn.
Yeah.
Dank ferric. It's like,
I don't give a shit about these made up words. Yeah. I hate how these names.
It's like just let them say.
Let them say.
Hashtag let Andor say fuck.
You know how we were begging? How apparently everyone in the MCU watching was like, why aren't they having sex? And then Eternals came out, and we went, never mind. And then She-Hulk's went, we're the horniest show. And we're like, no, we said never mind.
Stop doing that. It's weird.
And then Daredevil is just gonna be fucking everyone. We're like, stop it.
Daredevil and Spider-Man gay sex scene.
Gay sex scene with Kingpin. That's gonna be awesome. God. Tis the season for unexpected threesomes. We'll be back next week to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Consider it our little non-denominatable holiday special. If you like what you heard here and you want to see more, feel free to follow us on Roomies Talking Movies on Instagram. Listen to us at Roomies Talking Movies on all podcast things. And I want you two to figure out something to end on, because whenever I go like, always remember. Okay. And then I just forget.
And always remember.
Anarchy.
Yeah. Grab the fucking lights!